Hello there, and welcome to episode number 116 of Blue Jays World Update. I'm your host, Thomas Hall, and let's get you up to date. All right, so we have finally arrived. We are just one sleep, that's it, one sleep away from opening day 2023. And I'm going to borrow a sentiment from Blue Jays pitcher Alek Manoah in saying, I'm so unbelievably glad that spring training has come and gone, because it drags on far longer than it probably needs to be. Obviously, there are reasons why it is as long as it is, and that's mainly to build pitchers up, but for everyone else, once you get through those first 3 weeks or so, you're ready for the real thing. And thankfully, we are now here. And we're on the verge of the beginning of a very pivotal 2023 season for your Toronto Blue Jays. And so this episode, as I'm sure you can imagine, is going to be dedicated to previewing the upcoming season, but also making some predictions as to what may transpire for your 2023 Toronto Blue Jays. But first, let's start with talking about how last season ended, because before you know where you're going, you have to know how you got there. And for the Blue Jays, they're coming off a season that didn't end so well. You know, they won 92 games, which was one more than they did in 2021 when they missed the playoffs by one game. So there was a gradual progression in their win total in 2022. And they ended up making the playoffs, securing that first wild card seed and hosting the Seattle Mariners in a best of two out of three series. And as we all remember and were tormented by all winter, is that the Blue Jays were swept out of the playoffs and blew an 8-1 lead in that second game of that series. And now we're several months ahead, and we're now asking ourselves, among the questions that we're asking ourselves, what would be a successful season for the Blue Jays this year? And if you've had a chance to hear any of the interviews from the players during workout day on Wednesday, you'll know everyone's mind is on winning the division and ultimately making the World Series and bringing home that championship. And rightly so. I mean, as a player, that's the mindset you need to have going into a season, that you push away all the noise and you just focus on winning. That's it. That's your main goal. Now, obviously, so many things can change over these next 6 months. But for the Blue Jays, for a successful season, given where they finished last year, both in the standings and ultimately in the playoffs, for me personally, I would view a successful season as the Blue Jays making the playoffs, whether that's as a division winner or as a wild card seed again. We need to see them advance at least one round. So, at a minimum, for me, this team needs to be in the ALDS. And, you know, given how much they have committed into this season, obviously, it would be beneficial for the team to advance much further than the ALDS. But as a progression, going off of last year, that should probably be the bar, right? You make the playoffs again, and you reach the ALDS. Now, again, injuries happen, underperformances happen, any number of things happen over the course of a 162-game season. So, the bar can change. But as we sit here on March 29th, I think that should be the expectation level, is that this team goes beyond the wild card. If they end up being a wild card team, if they win the division, then obviously they'll be in the ALDS. But I think if they do end up winning the division, that bar will change. And you'll not just be looking for them to compete in the ALDS. You'll want them to advance to the ALCS and beyond. And this team is certainly capable of winning the division, because, you know, the AL East is going to be a juggernaut again. That's not breaking news here, right? You got the Yankees, the Rays, the Orioles, and also whatever the hell the Red Sox are going to end up being. And if we look at some projections here for the Blue Jays and for the rest of the division, Fangraphs has a fairly conservative model right now. They currently have the Yankees winning the division at 91 and 71, and the Blue Jays coming in second at 89 and 73. And they also have the Orioles coming back down to earth massively, finishing last at 78 and 84, and the Red Sox finishing fourth at 83 and 79, and the Rays coming in just two games below the Blue Jays at 87 and 75. And to me, again, so many different things can happen and so many things can go wrong, but for the Blue Jays, projecting them at 89 wins seems fairly light, given the way this roster is constructed, the balanced schedule, and frankly, the fact that the team won 91 games in 2021 and 92 games in 2022. So, coming in below 90 and making the playoffs just seems very unrealistic to me. And not to mention the Yankees just winning the division at 91 games after they won the division last year with 99. You know, like, I think whoever wins the division is probably going to finish with 94 or 95 wins. And as I'm sure some of you have already read over at Blue Jays Nation, I projected the Jays to win 97 games this year. Now, I had a little bit of fun with those season projections, and, you know, I went a little bit higher than probably my gut would advise me to suggest. But, you know, I think, again, the expectation, the ceiling on this team is in and around probably 95 to 97 wins, assuming they stay relatively healthy and guys perform the way we expect them to, because at the end of the day, that's one of the biggest question marks surrounding this team, is you don't exactly know what sort of results you're going to get out of some pretty key guys, that being Jose Berríos, Yusei Kikuchi, Brandon Belt, Dalton Varsho. What's a healthy George Springer possibly going to look like? Is the September 2022 of Bo Bichette going to carry over into the regular season? Because it certainly looked like that in spring training when he destroyed pitchers. What's the season going to hold for Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who's coming off an underwhelming performance last year where, you know, he looked like he was forcing things at the plate a lot of the time, putting too much pressure on himself, chasing at bats and pitches. And I think with those two in particular, Bo and Vladdy, hearing them talk this spring about the mental side of the game for both of them, with, you know, the growth and self-reflection that Bichette had to endure towards the end of last season, and how, you know, he started trusting himself more and learned about himself even more as a player as well, was eye-opening to hear. And hearing from Vladdy as well talk about how, you know, over the offseason he was very cognizant of the approach or lack thereof that he had throughout last season, where with the team struggling and underperforming, internally he felt like he needed to carry the load more. But the byproduct of that was him trying to mash everything and outscore the Blue Jays' problems by himself. And we all know how well that went. It didn't. It didn't go well at all. So, like, what type of years are we going to get out of Bo and Vladdy? What is the starting rotation as a whole going to look like? Because this is a very big season for many of them, right? Alek Manoah named the Blue Jays opening day starter. He gets the nod against the Cardinals, going up against Miles Michaelis from St. Louis. It's going to be a tough test for him. But even on a macro level for Manoah as well, he's coming off a great season, right? He nearly eclipsed 200 innings pitched. He was just over a 4-win player, you know, finished top 5 in the American League in ERA and innings pitched, like 331 expected ERA, 335 FIP. He did a fantastic job of missing barrels, inducing soft contact, and frankly, pitching deep into games when he didn't have his best stuff, when he didn't have, or when he wasn't piling up many strikeouts, right? Like his strikeout percentage dropped considerably from 2021 to 2022. And despite that, Manoah's overall results were even better than they were when he came up as a rookie in 2021. So, like, can Manoah take another jump this season? Because there's a chance, or not even a chance, there's a possibility that Manoah could reestablish some of the strikeouts that he lost last season. And part of that is improving his results against left-handed batters who perform far better than righties do. And a lot of that comes from the fact that Manoah's stuff, his arsenal, his four-seamer, his two-seamer, his slider, and his changeup, the majority of that is geared towards getting righties out. And he does a fantastic job of that. Where he does struggle, though, is when it comes to lefties, and especially when he's trying to generate swing and miss against those hitters. And I do expect him to perform better this season than he did last year versus lefties, mainly because it seems as though this spring he's constructed an improved approach against left-handed batters, where he's not over-reliant on his four-seamer, and he's incorporating his two-seamer, that front-door two-seamer that we've seen so many different times from Manoah and a lot throughout last season. But largely this spring, Manoah has been working on that two-seamer, that slider, and even the changeup a little bit to lefties so that he has more weapons, right? Like, Manoah's four-seamer is easily his best pitch. It generated a negative 19 run value last season. That was by far the highest amongst his arsenal. His slider, just as good against righties. But lefties, that two-seamer is key. And I wrote about this for Yahoo Sports earlier today about how if Manoah is able to apply this refined approach that he's been working on this spring against lefties, if he can apply that during the regular season and throw more front door two seamers to lefties, back foot sliders, utilize that changeup low and away to lefties, so that not only do they have to focus on so many different pitches, which he started tapping into last season, but the results weren't there because the process wasn't perfectly where it needed to be. This spring it has been much more. And so if he's able to translate that process and utilize it in the regular season, there's a really good chance we see the strikeouts tick up for Manoah against lefties, but also the overall results improve greatly for Manoah against left-handed hitters as well this season. And that's huge for the Blue Jays, because if you have an improved Manoah at the front of your rotation to go along with Kevin Gausman, who's just been unreal, or who was just unreal this spring, looking seemingly unfazed by being made basically the poster boy for Major League Baseball's crackdown on Box. And, you know, like, it certainly felt weird for Gausman during his first few starts in Grapefruit League action, but he closed out the spring looking like he's had that pause before he begins his delivery all for his entire career. Like, it looked like he'd been doing it his entire tenure in the big leagues. So you got him at the number two spot, the new addition of Chris Bassitt, who, you know, has been one of the more steady starters in the majors over the last 3-4 seasons. Like, the Blue Jays know what they're going to get out of Chris Bassitt, right? He's going to be he's not going to be a guy that racks up the strikeouts, but he's going to give you consistently 5-6 innings each start, induce a lot of ground balls, weekly hit ground balls. He's going to attack lefties and righties different ways, similar to how Ross Stripling did during his time with the Blue Jays. So you have a very steady arm in Bassitt as your number three. And then we get to Jose Berríos, who looked really good this spring. Like, sure, he didn't do so well for Team Puerto Rico in the WBC, but aside from that, Jose Berríos looked much improved this spring, particularly adapting well to the new pitch clock. Him and Yusei Kikuchi seemed to benefit a lot this spring from that new pitch clock, where they had less time in between pitches to think about, you know, their outing and what pitch to throw next. And it helped their smoothness and their rhythm as well on the mound. But also with Berríos too, just the different sequencing, pitch sequencing that he's displayed this spring, using a lot more two-seamers and that slurve that, you know, was pretty inconsistent for him throughout last season. He's still throwing the four-seamer a fair bit, but he's become less predictable in the sense. And so even if that four-seamer does miss over the heart of the plate, hitters aren't just sitting on it. Like, I think a lot of the time throughout last season they were. And frankly, Brios' two-seamer is a much better pitch in my mind. Just the horizontal movement that it generates is far better pitch than his four-seamer. So I would like to see him throw it more this season than he did last year. But again, with Berríos as your number four, even if he doesn't completely get back to the pitcher he was prior to 2022, if he's somewhere in between, somewhere in between 2022 and his career previously, somewhere in the middle point there, that's a much improved José Berríos. And he's not at the front of your rotation. He's at the back. So if you get four really good starters, or if you have four really good starters like that, like the Blue Jays could potentially have, they're gonna make some waves throughout the major leagues this season. And then you get to Yusei Kikuchi, who just struck out everyone, it seemed, this spring. And again, like I said, he adapted really well to the pitch clock. He made some mechanical adjustments as well, changing his pre-pitch hand placement, adjusting his arm slot a little bit as well. And it just seemed as well too that slider cutter hybrid that he has and has been, I don't want to say experimenting with, but redefining over the last, I don't know, 7-8 months. It looked really, really strong this spring. And again, it's spring training results, so you have to take those with a grain of salt. But the process for Yusei Kikuchi was very, very encouraging. And I know the Blue Jays don't have a ton of starting depth, or at least quality depth that you can rely on behind those five. For the short term, as we begin this season, you definitely feel encouraged about the way their rotation is constructed. I mean, as a whole too, you have to feel encouraged with the way their overall roster is constructed. And as we look ahead to this matchup against the St. Louis Cardinals that will kick off a three-game series to begin the season, it's shaping up to be a really good matchup out of the gate. Because even if most of you aren't overly familiar with the St. Louis Cardinals, maybe you don't watch a ton of NL Central ball, they're still a really good team, despite the less than favorable win projection that Fangraphs has for them at 85-77. This is a Cardinals team that easily should be the best team in that division. And even though they said goodbye to Yadier Molina at the end of last season, they replaced him with one of the better catchers in baseball, in Wilson Contreras. And he goes along with a pretty loaded lineup that could potentially feature Brendan Donovan, Lars Nootbaar, Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado, Contreras, Tyler O'Neill, Canadian Tyler O'Neill, Nolan Gorman, and rookie sensation Jordan Walker potentially in the outfield. And switch hitting Tommy Edman at the bottom of that lineup, serving as a, you know, quote unquote second leadoff hitter. That's a really good lineup, and their rotation on paper doesn't stack up as well compared to the Blue Jays, but it will be interesting to see the lineup construction the Blue Jays display throughout the series, but particularly in Sunday's finale when they're going to be facing Jordan Montgomery, who's a left-handed pitcher. So you would assume, with the Jays facing a lefty, they'll take out Brandon Belt and one of Kevin Kiermaier or Dalton Varsho. Like, we could see Varsho shift to center and Merrifield to left field, and that brings Espinal into the game to play second base. Or we could see George Springer in center potentially and see Merrifield in right, or Biggio in right. I lean more towards Merrifield playing against lefties than I would Biggio, probably because, again, Biggio's a lefty. But I wouldn't be shocked if we see Biggio in there against left-handed pitchers at some point this season. But I think to keep things simple out of the gate, I would make the safe bet in assuming that we'll see Merrifield in left field on Sunday against Montgomery, and we'll see either Kiermaier or Varsho on the bench, potentially to be activated as a pinch hitter whenever Montgomery comes out of the game, and the Cardinals possibly bring in a right-handed reliever out of the pen, because they certainly have a lot of those. Like, I definitely would want Belt or Varsho in the game when possibly the Cardinals bring in Jordan Hicks or Giovanni Gallegos or Ryan Helsley as well. So we're gonna see some very interesting matchups between the Blue Jays and the Cardinals in this opening series, which is always fun, right? The chess match that goes on between managers is always, to me, so intriguing, and it's not something we saw a lot of during Charlie Montoyo's tenure with the Blue Jays, but we will certainly see John Schneider and that Blue Jays coaching staff manipulate the lineup so that they have the best players in the game based on matchups for each, you know, situation. And I wanted to touch on the pitching matchup again, or not even the pitching matchup, but the matchup that Manoa will be faced with against the Cardinals lineup, because it's interesting to me in the sense that it could be a tall test or a big test for Manoa because, you know, depending on how the Cardinals construct their lineup, he could face potentially four lefties out of those nine hitters, including, you know, Donovan, Newt Barr, Gorman, and Edmund, who's a switch hitter, but we know he's going to bat left if the Blue Jays have a righty on the mound. And we could possibly see Dylan Carlson as well, who's also a switch hitter. And there's no guarantee that Jordan Walker gets that opening day start. It's very likely, but it's possible that the Cardinals put in another left-handed option to face Manoa. And if that's the case, I don't expect Manoa to deviate from his game plan, but looking at the pitch types that the Cardinals hitters did well against and didn't do well against last season, they're a very good fastball hitting team, particularly Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado, and Wilson Contreras as well in that mix. Tommy Edmund as well hit well against fastballs. So I wouldn't be shocked if, especially against right-handed hitters, because Arenado, Contreras, Edmund, Carlson, even Gorman to an extent, none of those guys really hit well against sliders last season. And we know Manoa's got an excellent slider. And even though he doesn't throw his changeup, or he hasn't historically thrown his changeup much to righties, it wouldn't shock me if we see him throw more changeups versus righties than he usually does, because Carlson, Contreras, and Arenado are guys who did not hit well against changeups last season. Now, Goldschmidt might be the exception in this sense because, well, in his MVP winning season, he hit well against basically everything. So I think Manoah will probably just stick to his guns against Goldschmidt. That'll probably be the game plan for him. But it wouldn't surprise me if he changes up his game plan from what we've seen previously from him, especially when he gets to those lefties, where he will likely feature a lot of two-seamers, a lot of sliders, and I'm really intrigued to see how often he uses his changeup as well in those situations. So it'll definitely be interesting, to say the least, as to how Manoah will fare against a pretty talented Cardinals lineup. But as we know already, knowing Manoah's personality, he's built for these kind of moments, right? He is absolutely the guy you want starting the season. And I'm sure he's going to do a great job of setting the tone for the Blue Jays in game one of 162. But he'll also need help, right? He can't score runs because, well, he's not Shohei Ohtani, right? He can only prevent them. So he's going to need to rely on his offense. And with the Blue Jays facing Miles Michaelis, our right-handed pitcher, this is going to be our first look to see how this new look, said look twice there, how this newly designed lineup will fare, right? We saw it a few different times throughout spring training, but it's hard to form any sort of opinion on that because, again, it's spring training. Pitchers are working on stuff. Batters are just looking to get their reps in. So we're probably going to see on Thursday in the opener, we'll probably see Springer leading off, Bichette hitting second, Vladdy 3, Brandon Belt 4, likely Alejandro Kirk 5 because he'll be catching Alec Manoah. We'll probably see Varsho hit 6th, Matt Chapman 7th, Merrifield in 8th, and Kiermaier in 9th. I do want to note that the Blue Jays lineup is going to remain extremely fluid all season long, so we shouldn't put too much value on their lineup construction. But for game one of the season, it'll certainly mean a little bit more because of how much the offense changed over the offseason. You know, if it doesn't go well, obviously, you know, it's not going to mean that the sky is falling, but it is going to be our first little taste of what the potential could possibly be for this lineup when it faces right-handed pitching. Because as we saw last season, more often than not, you would see way more righties than you would lefties. And they certainly didn't have the impact lefties that they do now. And we got a little bit of a preview during spring training as to how that could impact their run prevention, run creation. So I'm intrigued to see how that will play out over these first few games, because, you know, it's going to be a bit of a test for the Blue Jays. These are, again, a really good Cardinals team that they're going to see for the first three games. But at the same time, if we're comparing this season to last one, their schedule is far more favorable for the Blue Jays than it was last season, when they were dealt with one of the toughest schedules out of the gate. And now you get to, after you finish the Cardinals, or finish with the Cardinals, you get 4 games against the Kansas City Royals, 3 against Shohei and Trout in the Angels, and then you get to come home to face the Tigers for 3 games. Then it gets tougher, right? Then it gets tougher. You get 3 games against the Rays, 3 against the Astros, 3 against the Yankees, you get the White Sox for 3, the Mariners for 3. So April starts off pretty soft, at least on paper, for the Blue Jays, and, you know, is poised to finish much tougher than it starts, but it is set up, per se, for the Blue Jays to get off to a strong start, and that would be a pretty significant thing for the Blue Jays, because we all know how important confidence is in this sport. And we were witness to the never-ending roller coaster of extremes that was the 2022 season for the Blue Jays. So if they can get off on a promising start early on through their first few weeks of the season, especially considering how much tougher the schedule is poised to become to finish off the month, strong start early on could go a long way in ensuring this team performs much better throughout the first half than it did last year. So we'll see how that goes. But either way, it is just so exciting to have meaningful baseball back again and to kick off such a highly anticipated season for the Blue Jays. It should be a ton of fun, not to mention how enjoyable it should be once the Blue Jays actually come home to the Rogers Center and showcase their brand new, freshly renovated outfield section. So I'm sure a lot of you are looking forward to going down it and testing out a lot of the tasty food that'll be on display at those various restaurants and bars, and you know, just the overall atmosphere around the team at the ballpark at Rogers Center, I'm sure is going to be fantastic all year long, all summer long. So can't wait for it to get going. And with that, that does it for this week's episode. I hope all of you will join me next time for another edition of Blue Jays World Update. But until that time, I'm your host, Thomas Hall, and now you're up to date. And please remember, wear a mask, wear it properly, and get vaccinated. Thanks for listening.